Morning, church.
Good morning.
Always amazing to see wonderful people, God's people, worshiping God on this glorious day. John chapter 4, verse 24. I also like to acknowledge the visitor. I speak on behalf of the congregation. We are encouraged by your presence, and we pray that we can reciprocate the same encouragement. I always got to look at this clock here. They always cheat me 5 minutes. Make sure Brian know that, all right? Yeah, we always talk about finish at 11:30, but he cheated me 5 minutes. Our objective for the day is number one. I like us to observe two statements, and one of them is not going to be biblically correct. You have here, God will not give us more than we can handle. That's one of the statements. Second one, God will allow you to suffer more than you can handle. You know, I chose this lesson because I just don't want you guys thinking that all he want to do is talk about Revelation. So I had to change up a little bit, all right? Now, I don't want us guessing which one is correct, because we don't want to make that critical mistake of guessing or making an assumption about God's word. So we're going to research it through the Bible, see if one of those statements that's correct. And like I mentioned, I got 25 minutes to get this thing done. So we got three words that we're going to fill in the blank. This is second out here. When the blank is overwhelming, we can become blank if we blank on God. Like I said before, I start any lesson, I like to remind us, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, that we are in a spiritual war. Right. And we must decide what fence we're going to be on, either Jesus or Satan. See, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." He said, "But against the principality, against the power, against ruling the darkness in the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Meaning that Satan will do whatever necessary to capture our soul and take hell with him. That's just his mindset. And he's going to provide a variety of temptations and throw it our way. And they're going to come in a variety of being sophisticated, complicated, educated, captivated, suffocated, assassinated, discriminated, opinionated, fabricated, liberated, stimulated, any way to get you to move in a direction to hell. Allow me to give you an example when I'm talking about how Satan enticed us. But you guys been getting practice now, so you guys should be on this. I'm going to need some participation. So we want to try this one time this time, all right? Uh-huh. See if you guys get it. One, two, three.
Satan uses some methods to tempt us.
One more time, a little clear.
He uses subtle methods to tempt us into sin.
Ah, remember that, because it's so important that we remember this throughout our lives. You see, there's someone in here that's got a tremendous amount of pressure on them. And Satan is knocking on the doors and enticing us, whispering to our ears, you don't need to serve God. You don't need to do this. And he's doing this, but we got to understand that what?
Satan uses subtle methods to tempt us into sin.
There are so many people, could be in this congregation, that have anxiety attacks. Worrying so much about, they lost their ability to do certain things. They're not independent like they used to be. And they weren't sick. Who are they going to rely on? And Satan, they're hearing the whispers of Satan. We got to understand what?
Satan uses subtle methods to tempt us into sin.
There's so many people, could be in this congregation, dealing with insecurities. Insecurity.
Pain.
Satan exploits their vulnerabilities that they have built a wall up among themselves, and they just can't find them. They can't deal with certain things, and Satan is whispering in their ears. Mm-hmm. Then will it be jealousy? Will it be comparison? Will it be doubts? Putting it in the ear. So we got to understand that what?
Satan uses subtle methods to tempt us into sin.
See, there's some. Could be us. That's in need. So many people in this world I see around throughout San Diego living, they need a financial, need some physical, certain physical, emotional needs, financial needs.
Yeah.
In a bad position, mm-hmm. living in the cars, living on the streets. We have what?
Satan uses subtle methods to tempt us into sin.
Let's see what we have here. We got pressure in this world. We got anxiety issues. Insecurity. Need. Pain. People in this world dealing with so much pain.
Yeah.
So much pain. Mm-hmm. And Satan is tempting them. Satan is tempting them to go in his direction. Satan what?
Satan uses subtle methods to tempt us into sin.
But we got to understand that the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto our own understanding. Therefore, church, we need to trust in God and do the will of God to the best of our abilities. And despite any situation we face. Let's go back to those statements. Do we tell them God would not give you more than you can handle? Do we tell them? Or God would allow you to suffer him? What is this? How can we help these people? We help them by going to the scriptures and trying to figure out what God expects us. God has great expectations, especially if you call yourself a Christian. He has an expectation of us. You see, one of the things we got to look will generate this mindset is the scripture we come up next. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Let's read it. There has no temptation taking you but such as common to man. But God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But with temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. See, if we break down that scripture, we can determine with God the right statement. See, what he's saying, the first part I want you to understand, let's break down the scripture. First part he's saying is, but such is common to man. What he's saying that, conveying to you and I that there's no strange temptation. There's no new temptation. You, what you going through? Jim, I could go through the same thing. With Brian going through something, I could go through something. It's been, we have temptation. He's just coming at us different angles. Understand, he's still going to come. Still using the same method of pride. There's nothing new. Prosperity. Nothing new. Power. Our Lord is saying to Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, went through all three of those phases. And I'm quite sure that if you live long enough, you're going through some of the phases as we speak. So, the second part, when you break it down. But God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. What he's saying here, he's saying, although you were tempted, God put a limit on what Satan could do to you, entice you with. He got a stop sign to say, hold up, that's enough. He can't go beyond what God said. He's still got to ask permission to even get to you. God knows your limit. You got to understand that the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, verse 2, he said Satan is bound. Meaning Satan got restrictions. In the third phase that we break it down, just so you that. But with temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. meaning that we don't have to accept temptation. Meaning that we can move forward to perfection in dealing with God. We don't have to break down and say, I'm going your way, Satan. God has always given us an avenue to get out of temptation. So what we have here, the scripture reveals to us that God would not allow us to be tempted more than we can handle. That's a true statement. But somehow we have allowed that content of that subtle way how he have changed the word, that little meaning to, that God will give you more than you can handle. We're going to find that out. We're going to break down. The title of the lesson is, well, this is what I already went past. Yeah. That's the unbiblical statement. God would not give us more than we can handle. That's not biblical. That's not correct. But somehow that has triggered throughout the Church of Christ. I have heard preachers say it many times. And so we're breaking it down. That we won't see it. Title of the lesson, when life is overwhelming. Life takes a toll on us. Sometimes we don't always focus on things, on the priority, which is God. When life takes overwhelming, come our way, sometimes we don't look on things above, seek things above. When life takes a toll on us, sometimes we don't let our light shine. We just don't. Sometimes we don't. We focus on what caused the issue. Sometimes we got folks, some of them, thinking God has abandoned them. But we got to realize that the Bible tells us, according to Hebrews chapter 13:5, that God will never forsake us. See, when life is overwhelming, I'm talking about when sickness occurs. When dealing with mental illness, dealing with cancer, dealing with blindness, dealing with ALS. When life is overwhelming, when you're dealing with trauma, shocked with the newness, the numbness of nothing, of trouble. When life is overwhelming, when you have no resource, no funds, no family, no comfort, no jobs. You're in a sad condition. You're living on the streets. You're living in your vehicle. See, when life is overwhelming, oppressed, every door you go to is closed, looking for an answer. You're in a survival mode. When life is overwhelming, you receive some bad news that breaks your heart and you're emotionally wrecked. See, when life is overwhelming, I'm talking about, when you're grieving, you've been with your spouse for 52 years, and suddenly she died, he died. That word is strong. What do we tell a person? We tell them to be strong. We tell them that God give you more than you can handle. God not gonna give you more than you can handle. You see, when we research the Bible and we see that Elijah was underneath a tree and he was ready to die, he couldn't handle certain things according to 1 Kings 19:4. What do we say to him? What do we tell him? God will not give you more than you can handle. That's what we tell him. What do we say to him? Oh, when you're in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Jonah was in the belly of a fish, according to Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. What do we say to him? God will not give you more than you can handle. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, before he went on the cross, let's read what he said. He said, and he went through about a storm thrown behind them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your be done. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, couldn't handle going on that cross. But God sent the angel to strengthen him up. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. We tell him, God will not give you more than you can handle. It's unbiblical. The meat of the lesson. You know, Jim always volunteers, so we have Jim to read. What is that, Jim?
It's the NIV version, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life.
Apostle Paul said, him and Timothy, they couldn't handle the situation. They thought they was going to die. Why, the question is, why does God allow us to suffer? Go on, Jim. I'm hating myself. Oh, wow.
Okay. Chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me.
Let's find out why God allowed us to suffer. See, Apostle Paul is informing us about how God, how he went to heaven. God allowed him to see heaven, that vision of heaven. And he was privileged about that, so he could have been prideful, he said. That's special to get to see heaven. But to prevent him from being conceited, that God allowed that pain that he could not bear to exist. Understand, he asked God for permission. But you understand this, Satan always got to ask God. Just want you to know, just like it's regarding to Job. But keep going. What did he say?
Three times I pleaded with the Lord to.
He asked God. Apostle Paul said that it was unbearable. He couldn't deal with the thing, the anguish that he was going through. We talk about Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books in the Bible. The Apostle Paul said, who fought a good fight, according to 2 Timothy 4 and 7, he said he can't handle this stuff. I can't handle the torment that was going on. But look at the answer that God gave him. Look at the answer that Jesus gave him.
But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness.
Time. We're going to find out why God allows us to suffer sometimes. What I call it, the seven arms. Number one. So we're going to find it out real quick. Relationship. See, we have to understand, although we're going through certain things, limitations or whatever illness we find ourselves going through, that nothing should be able to separate us from the love of God. See, Paul said he persuaded that neither death, nor height, nor creature, nor any other creature were able to separate from the love of God. And see, when we understand that kind of magnitude and understand that type of relationship, guess what we'll say to ourselves? That we'll know that we're more than a conqueror. Second one, we got to remove those negative equations, the negative thoughts that we have in our minds. And understand that we got to depend on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We got to depend on our Father God to get us through this, according to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 and 31. And then when we get to that state of our mind, we have to let it remind ourselves that Father God is the one that give us life and take it away, according to Revelation chapter 4. And when we get to that mindset, understand the refuge, that God is our source of protection. He's our shelter, according to Psalm chapter 16, verse 62 and 8. And we get to another part, that God is that rock, that solid rock that we need to continue to lean on. Then we can rest in God's bosom. Well, we got six, huh? Mm-hmm. And if you're a Christian, see, that's why I said this belongs to Christians. You got to understand that you're reigning with Christ right now. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, Revelation. You are reigning with Christ as we speak. So those are seven steps you got to realize why we're suffering sometimes. And then when we get to that stage, understand your limitations. Things we go through cannot stop the mission. We are designed as Christians to be the salt of the earth. We are designed to let our light shine, according to Matthew chapter 5 and 16. Meaning that we have to be example to the world. We got to be that walking epistle. We have to be example of the power of God that we maintain, sustain, and proclaim God's word. The Bible tells us that we are the ambassadors of Christ according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We will understand, despite our limitations, the unbearable condition that we find ourselves, the final will, we realize that our root, the root of our spiritual foundation is built on the love that God has for you and I. And we need to follow that first commandment of loving God more than we love ourselves, loving God with all our heart and strength, according to Mark chapter 12, verse 30. And when you get to that point, you can yield to God's authority. The Bible says in James chapter 4 and 7 says, submit yourself to God and the devil will go his way, will flee from you.
Amen.
So we have to yield to God's authority, and we got to reply. Let's finish this out right quick.
Let's rely.
When the pain is overwhelming, we can become strong and rely on God.
Good point.
I didn't make this up in my head. Oh, let me make this up and put this on. I just changed it around so we can see it through the scriptures. So I'm gonna show you what I'm talking about.
Second Corinthians 12, verse 10. Therefore, I will boast all more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.
It's the attitude, it's the mindset that we ought to have. But keep on. What he said, we're going to finish the statement that he read. I didn't read, I didn't allow him to read verse 9. What it says, Jim?
2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 9. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life.
Look what Paul realized now. The martyr tapping his head. Would you go ahead? What he said?
Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead.
This is the mindset. We can come to a conclusion of the lesson. Despite what we're going through in life, the limitations that we find ourselves going through, our inability to do certain things, we're getting older. Each day we get older. We got to more, it should remind us that we got to rely more on God. Focus more on our God and not so much on our limitation. So when we hear this word, so here's the correct thing. God will allow us to suffer more than we can handle. Because the focus needs to be on God and not ourselves. And we conclude this lesson. Understand this. God has done his part. And some of us may be in the mindset that I can do it on my own. But God sent his son to die for all of us. And you cannot make it to heaven without our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gave us his holy Bible that we can study the word of God and know the direction that we need to go. He will guide us there. You see, all we have to do, your five steps, especially if you're not a Christian, you need to hear the word of God. What you heard today, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and 37. He said, now when they heard, they were pricked in their hearts. And Peter said in the rest of the time, man, what should we do? Jesus preached the gospel, death, the burial, and the resurrection. You have to believe. The Bible says in John 3 and 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, do you believe in Jesus? You need to confess. You need to repent. You need to repent. The Bible tells in Luke chapter 13, 3, I take your name, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And you confess the sweetest name in the Bible, that's Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, whosoever therefore to confess before men, him I confess before my Father which is in heaven. And we are baptized with this. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, that we have been baptized with Christ. I'm asking you to come as we sing the song of this letter. Will you come today?